The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Jim Cronin from the North Carolina Reading Service. For the next hour, I will be reading to you from the Reader's Digest and Consumer Reports. Okay, let's start off with some true stories. My smart pet. These clever critties are some smart cookies. No bird brains here. I should have known our cockatiel, Sara Lee, was special when we introduced her to our new baby, and the verb mainly began speaking in a gentle baby voice rather than her usual booming squawks. In the coming days, Sara Lee would squawk every day in the late afternoon. I checked the door and found no one. Then 5 minutes later, I hear my daughter stir. After several days of this, however, whenever Sara Lee squawked, I went to check on baby instead of the door. Sure enough, our bird was letting me know that the baby was beginning to wake up from her nap. I loved getting to be there as my daughter woke up each afternoon. Sara Lee was the best babysitter a mom could ask for. Susan Hodge, Palatine, Illinois. Sticking to the schedule. Every day at 5 p.m., my Sheltie, Penny, stands in front of my recliner and lets me know it's time for dinner. Not her dinner, mine. She won't even glance in for her food until she sees I've eaten mine. Then at 9 p.m., she gets in my bed and waits for me to come settle down. Once I do, she heads off to her bed in the living room. Janice Inslee, Eatonville, Washington. Purring inspection. We call our Siamese cat, Monty, the inspector. That's because he doesn't let anything from a package to your purse through the door without a proper search. Last summer, I cleaned a bathtub that most never gets used, then went upstairs. Monty was soon pawing my elbow. I figured he wanted food, so I followed him downstairs, but I was surprised when he turned into the living room instead of the kitchen. There was water everywhere. Apparently, the tub's pipes had cracked from lack of use. Monty came up to get me and led me down two flights of stairs to show me the problem. Kathy Brooks, Huntington Beach, California. A measure of intelligence. I bought a load of 150-foot-long rubber tire strips to build a padded fence for my horses. The strips were extremely heavy and needed to be cut into 50-foot sections. I set a marker on the grass and began laying out the strips so I would know where to cut. My Great Dane Banner joined me, grabbing the ends of the strips and dropping them right at the marker as he saw me do. He worked an entire day with me, just as well as a human helper could have. Dorothy Lee from Hiram, Ohio. When opportunity knocks. Our 27 hens spent the day foraging in the yard, then returned to the warmth and shelter of the hen house at night. One night, a hen named Pullet must have roamed farther afield than usual and missed re-entry to the coop. Finding herself locked at it on a brisk night, she did what any bright young hen would do, knock. My wife heard someone at the front door and was surprised to find Pullet flapping her wings against the door and waiting to be collected. Cheryl Cooper, Salad Lakes of Washington. That's interesting. Self-cleaning crew. One day we were out of the house for much longer than expected, and our very smart chihuahua, Pixie, had an accident on the floor. When we got home, we found her next to the puddle looking very guilty, with a sponge at her feet and the cabinet door under the sink open. I always wondered if we had come back even later when she had tried to mop it up herself, too. Betty Haas, La Mesa, California. Buddy system. One of our calves came down with pink eye, was temporarily blinded, so it relied on the rest of the cow herd to lead it around. One day, when the herd was returning to the barn, one of the other calves suddenly stopped and ran back the way it had come. 5 minutes later, it appeared with the blind fellow falling close by its side. It was the sweetest and sharpest thing I'd ever seen from these big beasts. Trudy Holson, Tars, Pennsylvania. Waiting for the shoe to drop. Our dog, Chase, aptly named, runs after our cats when left alone, so we put him in his kennel when we leave the house. One day, I noticed that Chase was waiting by the kennel as I got ready for work. But on the weekends, when I was getting ready to go out and feed the horses, he'd wait by the door. It seemed he knew what day it was, but how? In time, I realized it was my footwear. Shoes mean I'm going to work, and he's going to his kennel. Boots mean we're going to the barn. I switched my footwear a few times to test him and confirmed I was right. Randy Blanchard, Elwood, Wisconsin. A light bulb moment. Our cat, Charlie, wants attention when he wants it. Typical cat. When he feels ignored, he walks to the nearest light switch, looks back at us several times, one last chance to change our minds, and flips the switch. Having successfully forced us to get up to turn the lights back on or off, he offers a meow that seems to say, "Are you paying attention now?" Rebecca Smith, Pittsboro, North Carolina. After the beep. My husband found Lester as a kitten. Lester loves my husband so much. He follows him everywhere and watches intently, no matter how dull the task. For years, my husband's alarm went off at 5 a.m., and Lester was right there to make sure he got up for work. Eventually, my husband retired, but Lester did not. He still jumped on the nightstand at 5 a.m. every day, meowing until my husband got up. One day, by accident, so we thought, Lester pressed the button on our answering machine that announced the time of the day. He did it day after day at exactly 5 a.m., until we replaced the machine. Carol Roseman, Levittown, New York. Her best trick yet? When she was a puppy, we trained our Doberman Pinscher to tap the basement door when she needed to go out. One day, a year later, she tapped the door, but when I opened it, she ran back upstairs. I returned to the kitchen to find she just needed a few unfruitful seconds to scarf by lunch. Imagine my surprise when weeks later, just as she had regained my trust, she pulled the same stunt. Now I put my plate in a microwave, which we call the safe zone, and she taps the door during mealtime. Jan Wildering, Amicon, Michigan. Now that's a first date. Sitting on a 150-piece orchestra station at Abbey Road Studios, the Beatles' longtime recording home, George and Amal Clooney, getting into a fender bender with the Secret Service, Henry and Jonah Bush Hager. First dates can be all kinds of unforgettable. What's most memorable first date, good or bad, you've ever been on? See the terms and share your story at rd.com/firstdate. It might appear in a future issue of Reader's Digest. That'd be worth sending in if you've got an interesting one. National interest. What's ailing our doctors? Today's physicians are burned out and battered by spreadsheets. We patients suffer too. By Derek Burnett. When Victoria Koskinayoya was in college, she ended in the hospital bedside by her mother, who lay dying of leukemia, studying for her medical entrance exams. She was determined one day to speak the language of the doctors and swooped in and out of the room discussing the case. Later in medical school and then in residency, Koskinoja, that's an interesting name, it's K-O-S-K-E-N-O-G-A-A, Koskinoja, found herself drawn to emergency medicine with its unpredictability, its tapestry of characters, and its imperative to establish immediate trust with the constant stream of brand new patients coming through the door. She had found her calling. Her first position out of residency was her dream job, working in a level 2 trauma center at a hospital in rural Michigan where she'd grown up. And at first, it truly was a dream. Small community, really great group of physicians, really great group of nurses, she recalls. I just felt like we had everything that keeps the hospital running. But the facility had just been bought out by a private equity firm, and Dr. Koskinoja watched in real time as things began to change. Cuts were made everywhere in every possible way, she says. Cuts seemed harmful to the patients, the very people who were there to help. Doctors and nurses were let go or had their hours drastically reduced. I'd walk into a room, Dr. Koskinoja calls, and see a patient with blood pressure of 60-40, which is dangerously low. Before the buyout, that nurses would have been all over that, she says. But I would have to find a nurse if I could, to try to get them to start fluids or start them myself. When ER pediatric patients need to be admitted to the hospital, Dr. Koskinoja would request a bed upstairs, only to be routinely denied by administrators. Confused, she asked a pediatrician what was going on. Pediatric admissions don't pay well, her colleague said, explaining that the hospital could bill the insurance company more for adults who have been admitted. As a result, the children would often remain in the ER for up to 4 days at a time, she says. The same things happen with elderly patients, many with dementia, who stayed even longer while awaiting a spot at a long-term care facility. It was, she says, an unintendable situation. We didn't have a system designed for taking care of someone for month-long stays in an emergency department, where it's just supposed to be for a few hours, Dr. Koskinoja says. She describes sleepless nights agonizing over the responsibility of trying to care for patients in what struck her as impossible conditions. Children and the elderly stuck in the ER risked missing treatments because the drastically cut nursing staff was now so overstretched. The hospital denies ever basing admissions on cost or reimbursement and says its staffing models fall well within industry standards. Any issues, the spokesman told Reader's Digest, must be viewed in light of the broad challenges facing the healthcare industry. Darshan Koskinoja and her medical colleagues pushed back, but she says they were largely ignored. Demoralized and ashamed, she and many others quit. I still get emotional when I think about it, she says. Most of us went into medicine because we love taking good care of people. When you're set up by a system to not be able to do that, just so some MBA can have a bigger bonus, it makes you sick. A prescription for burnout. American doctors are in a crisis. 6 in 10 physicians say they're burned out, with burnout rates for some specialties such as primary care reaching 70%. When polled by the American Medical Association, 40% of doctors said they were considering leaving their practices in the next 2 years. Another study conducted by healthcare industry publisher Elsevier revealed concern about mental health and burnout. 63% of med students in the United States reported they had no intention of practicing clinical medicine after graduation and will instead work as lab researchers or academics. This beside a predicted shortage of 125,000 physicians over the next 10 years. Perhaps most concerning, suicide rates among doctors are alarmingly high. Male doctors are nearly 1.5 times more likely to commit suicide than the general population, while female doctors are more than twice as likely to take their own lives. Doctors are fewer and they're more stressed, says patient advocate David Scherer, MD, author of the Hospital Survival Guide. When you get that combination, you're going to have more medical errors. You're going to have more mistakes made. I mean, it's just not a good time to be a patient in the United States. You may recall a time when you enjoyed closer relationships with your doctors. They took time, got to know you, answered the phone, stuck around. Today, many factors have made those things increasingly quaint. Thanks to the ever more powerful insurance companies, doctors spend precious hours jumping through hoops to obtain prior authorization from insurers so they can order tests, procedures, or medications. During an exam, their gaze is often more focused on a computer screen than the patient, because a 2019 law requires that all medical charts be kept electronically. Far from making things more efficient, says Rebecca Bernard, MD, author of the books Patients at Risk, the way the law was rolled out just really felt slapped together. So paradoxically, the paperwork workload from crazy. And because of corporate takeovers in the medical field and their mandates to grow profits, doctors are spending less time with patients in order to squeeze in more appointments. The result is the average primary doctor now spends 2 hours on paperwork for every hour spent with patients. The time crunch on doctors has gotten so bad that even physicians often can't get each other's attention to make referrals. 5 years ago, says Dr. Scherer, I used to be able to pick up the phone within a few minutes. The doctor would be on the phone with me. Now it's phone jail. You can't do it. Well, the drivers of dissatisfaction among doctors are many. The growing influence of corporations has done more to change the practice of medicine than anything else. Today, about 3/4 of U.S. physicians work for hospitals, health systems, and other corporate entities, up from about 25% a decade ago. Often clashing with administrators over a host of issues that boil down to profits versus patient well-being. Money, many doctors say, has been so infected healthcare that doctors are losing control over decisions that impact care to the detriment of patients. The result for physicians, says Dr. Kosin-Doja, is known as moral injury, the psychological trauma of being forced to act in ways that violates one's ethics. It, as she says, likely a major source of doctor burnout. Just sign the chart. Sharon Ortega, not her real name, a pediatric emergency medicine doctor, worked happily for more than a decade at a community-based hospital in a Midwestern city. But when the facility was acquired by a large corporation, executives banned Christian and Physicians Group that employed Dr. Ortega to make sincere staffing cuts. At the same time, despite the lack of demand for higher-level services, the company upgraded its ER to a Level 1 trauma center. A head-scratching decision that made sense to Dr. Ortega only when viewed through a purely financial lens. When you have that additional trauma status, she explains, you can bill at a higher level, even if you're not using all those resources. Great for the corporation's bottom line, terrible for the finances of the patient's families. It was shortchanging the kids in the community, Dr. Tez. After a group pushed back, the hospital's new owners put out a request for proposals to contract with another group. The final straw for Dr. Ortega was when her group conceded to furlough its pediatricians who had worked at the hospital for more than a decade, replacing them with nurse practitioners, or NPs. These nurses receive 18 months to 4 years of training to perform more advanced healthcare functions than registered nurses or RNs. To become certified, NPs must complete at least 500 supervised clinical hours. That's significant, but far from the required 12,000 to 16,000 clinical hours, 4 years of medical school, and 3 to 7 years of residency before a physician is able to practice unsupervised. While nurse practitioners were initially conceived as assistants to doctors, practicing only under supervision, recent years have seen a push toward more autonomous practice. but in some states, doctors are often expected to sign off on nurse practitioners' work, despite having not examined the patients. That's what Dr. Ortega saw happening at her facility. Pediatricians being retraced by nurse practitioners, and the remaining few doctors being pressured to certify their work sight unseen. To be sure, NPs play an important role, especially in parts of the country where there's a shortage of doctors. And Dr. Ortega, whose parents are both nurses, has deep respect for the profession. I'm not opposed to a collaborative type of practice with nurse practitioners, she says. But she chafes at being told, oh, just need to sign the chart. It doesn't matter if you haven't seen the patient. No, if I sign the charts, my name is legally tied to a patient, then I want to be able to see them. If the corporation plays its card right, it can still charge patients just as much as if they'd seen a physician. A nurse practitioner who sees a patient alone is reimbursed 85% of Medicare fees, says Mitchell Lewis Jug Lee, M.D., a board-certified emergency physician and the founder of an advocacy organization dedicated to taking the profession of medicine back from the corporate interest. But if a physician signs off, he says, they can charge 100%. Making MPs even more attractive, they earn roughly half a doctor's salary, according to U.S. Labor Statistics. The prospect of signing charts without seeing patients represented a legal liability to Dr. Ortega. But she was also concerned about patient safety and the ethical considerations, so she quit while ever signing a chart for a patient she hadn't seen. She now runs a private practice. How did we get here? More than half of U.S. hospitals today are structured as corporations, and others have been called nonprofit in name only, mostly with non-medical executives calling the shots. And 56% belong to chains of three or more facilities. Healthcare entities make attractive investment targets for companies, seeing as how an aging population and surging healthcare costs provide a stable and substantial source of revenue. Given the prevalence of the corporate-owned model, it can be surprising to learn in most states, only doctors who have sworn the Hippocratic Oath can make decisions affecting care. That would seemingly rule out large conglomerates run by those with not medical degrees. But these norms have become eroded. Exporting legal loopholes, corporations have overwhelmingly reshaped the healthcare landscape, says Dr. Lee. A provision of 2010's Affordable Care Act effectively banned physicians from owning hospitals, out of a concern that doctors might have a conflict of interest while waving through a new breed of corporate overseers. Before, hospital administrators were traditionally motivated by community ties rather than the profit-driven demands of distant corporate owners, whose imperatives can result in the erosion of medical decision-making power of independent physician groups. Sometimes corporations come into a situation and stake things up for the better. Struggling healthcare firms may seek out private equity buyers because they need an injection of cash to keep the lights on or to introduce innovative and new technology. And sometimes greater size makes for more bargaining power when it comes to pharmaceutical pricing and negotiation with insurance companies. But of late, as healthcare giants have become behemoths by consuming smaller companies, Federal Trade Commission has begun to express concern that such growth can breed anti-competitive behavior. Some conglomerates have vertically integrated patient care with pharmacy, pharmacy benefit managers, insurance, and related services all under one roof. Consider, for example, Optum, a subsidiary of the Masses Health Insurance Concern United Health Group. Optum operates healthcare delivery, labs, pharmacy, services, and a bank offering health savings accounts, and is now the largest employer of physicians in the country. Or CVS, which delivers healthcare via its MinuteClinics, owns a pharmacy benefits manager, owns Aetna Insurance, and recently acquired an in-home patient evaluation company, SoDignify. Neither United Health Group nor CVS is run by physicians. Such corporate models can maximize profits. One company with its own doctor is in its own clinics, prescribing medications for patients with his own insurance at prices negotiated with his own pharmacy benefits manager to be picked up by its own pharmacies. Another key benefit, a company could now charge Medicare for more for some procedures by using directly employed physicians rather than those working for independent physician-owned groups. Proponents of the corporate model say they're making healthcare more convenient and efficient while safeguarding safety. Responding to a Senate committee inquiry, a spokesperson for Envision, a private equity-backed physician staffing group, our number one priority is always well-being of our clinicians and the patients they serve. And the American Hospital Association says in rural areas, where many independent hospitals have closed, mergers and acquisitions have played a critical role in preserving access to care. That may well be, But a study by Harvard doctors published in December 2023 in the Journal of the American Medical Association found that when private equity companies buy out hospitals, the rate of harm to patients rises sharply, with falls increasing by 27% and dangerous infections by 38%, likely the result of reductions in staff after the acquisition, according to Ziru Song, MD, a co-author of the paper. Another study by researchers at the Harvard Kennedy School of Government looked at the narrow question of how colonoscopy patients fared when hospitals integrated physician groups instead of working with independent doctors. The corporations imposed measures such as scaling back expensive anesthesiologists and increasing the number of patients treated per day. Maybe unsurprisingly, the number of post-procedure complications such as gastrointestinal bleeding increased significantly. After being acquired by a for-profit company, Mission Hospital in Asheville, North Carolina, has become a poster child for the perils of corporatization of healthcare. Mission Hospital used to be where everyone would go if they wanted good care, former psychiatric and cardiac nurse Nancy Jacquins told NBC News. But after the acquisition, the facility began attracting the wrong kind of attention. In a scathing report, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services declared the health and safety of Mission's patients as being in immediate jeopardy. Investigators cited a string of deficiencies in care, including the case of a 78-year-old woman who showed up at the ER with a leg fracture, abnormal heart rhythm, and low oxygen, and was found dead in the hallway after languishing for 4 hours. A spokesperson for Mission's corporate owner, HCA Healthcare, points out that the state has recommended that the immediate jeopardy status be lifted. It says the facility's quality of care is confirmed by the various ratings organizations, despite national challenges like staffing shortages that are affecting hospitals across the country. Taking medicine back, the movement is building among physicians to regain control of their profession. Dr. Lee founded an organization to take medicine back, whose goal to reinstate historical prohibition against the corporate practice of medicine. The fight is playing out in various ways and on numerous fronts across the country, supported by political allies on both sides of the aisle. Interstate, Dr. Ortega successfully pushed for legislation requiring all emergency departments to keep physicians on staff at all times. She was motivated after reading about a 19-year-old college athlete named Alex Ochoa Dawkins, who visited an ER where no doctor was on duty, and who later died from a misdiagnosis pulmonary embolism. Other states are considering similar legislation. In Arizona, at the state house level, physician-turned-politician Amish Shaw, M.D., successfully sponsored bills addressing the hassle of prior authorization and corporate retaliation against whistleblowers, both of which became law. As a candidate for the U.S. House of Representatives, he has his sights set on similar accomplishments in Washington. Late last year, Senator Chuck Grassley, Republican from Iowa, and Sheldon Whitehouse, Democrat from Rhode Island, opened a Senate Budget Committee investigation into the private equity ownership of hospitals. A similar inquiry was launched this past April by the Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs Committee. And in Oregon this March, a bill that would have closed the loopholes allowing corporate control over health care in the states died in the Senate Rules Committee after resoundingly passing in the House. The bill's sponsor says he will reintroduce it next year. If passed, it may serve as a model legislation for other states. The goal of all these actions is to reduce the influence of the profit motive so that more healthcare settings operate the way they used to. It's a proven model, as evidenced by the success of the non-corporatized facilities and physician-owned practices that still exist. There are places where you can practice and feel like you're able to deliver great care, says Dr. Sher. Dr. Victoria Kosin-Goja, whose story ends happily, is living proof. Unlike many of her colleagues who have left the field, she found work in a county hospital that she loves. It's run by the community, she says, so the people running it, it's their neighbors that they're taking care of. It's not people making decisions in some fancy business suite states away who don't really care. She's agreed with Dr. Shaw that good jobs for doctors still exist. But she says, a lot of us are worried that those jobs are going to get to be fewer and fewer. And with that, let's roll over into consumer reports. What we're testing in our labs. In our 63 labs, we continue to review and rate products. Here are timely picks for this month. Laptops. We tested 217 models. We test for performance while running a variety of tasks, battery life, the quality of the screen, including size, clarity, and color, keyboard ergonomics, and more. The scores are medium of 71 with a range from 33 to 90. The large display and light we use the LG Gram 17, $1,600. Scored at 88. Small with a touchscreen is the Samsung Galaxy Book Pro, 14-inch at 1450, 82 overall. Superior battery life is the MSI Prestige 16 at 1200, 80 overall score. Black and white laser printers. We tested 60 models, speed and quality for printing graphics and text. We also estimate a printer's cost of ink per year. The median was 68, the range was 54 to 85. The highest one that they're showing here is 79, which is speed and good at graphics. Canon Image Class LP 24060W at $200. A contact reliable brand is the Brother HLL2370, $230, scored a 73. And crisp test quality for less is a Canon Image Class LBDW for $100. Well, scored a 73 as well. Does anyone need a printer anymore? Where so many things are digital, including concert, movie, and plain text, an at-home printer may seem unnecessary. But if you use less frequently these days, there are still times when a printer is a great convenience. You may need one to print a document that requires a signature with a pen. While most of us don't need a high-capacity printer anymore, the smallest much as the Brother above can handle basic tasks without taking much space. Laser printer is among the most reliable and cost-effective options because they use toner instead of pricey ink. For convenience, the printer shown above support Apple AirPrint that you print directly from an iPhone. Toasters. We tested 71 models. We test for how well a toaster can make light and dark toast, how quickly it can toast a full batch of bread, ease of use in cleaning, and more. The median score was 74. The range was 54 to 72. Tops for toasting was the Breville Bitmore BTA 720, two slices for $90, and that scored a 92. Quit Toasting for Less is a Beautiful by Drew Barrymore at 19039 for $40, scored a 91. Fits four slices and easy to use is the Hayden Brighton, $75, it scored an 81. Pretty, too, it's blue. Chainsaws. We tested 88 models. We test for how fast a chain saw can cut through a 10-inch square oak beam, how safe it is, how easy it is to use, and more. Median was 69, range was 34 to 82. The best battery power was the Ego CS1804 at $400, and it scored an 82. The best gas-powered was the Echo CS59020 at $450. It scored a 77. And the best corded electric was a Still MS130CBQ at $430. It scored a 68. Bike helmets. We tested 101 adult models. We test for the ability of a helmet to absorb the impact of a crash, ventilation, fit adjustments, and ease of use. The median score was 71. The range is from 35 to 90. Best and easy to adjust, the Trek Starvos Wave Cell at $105, scored a 90. Runner-up was the Bell Formula LED MPS Ghost at $140, it scored an 86. And the safe bargain buy was the Laser Tempo Kinetic Core at $50, it scored an 85. Ellipticals. We tested 32 models. We test for construction, including noise, feel, and ride, how easy the controls, display, and exercise programs are used to use, and more. Median was 68, the range was 41 to 77. Excellent ergonomics and tracks heart rate. The Vision 7 S7100 HRT at $3,200, scored a 77. Tracks heart rate for less is the Swin 430 at $1,000, scored a 72. Nice private, no heart tracking. The Horizon Fitness at X59 at $700, and it scored a 63. Ask our experts. Free-range farm eggs. Can I use eggs that are past their expiration date? Egg cartons typically come stamped with dates labeled EXP for expiration, best buy or sell by, depending on state regulations. But they usually refer to when the eggs are past their peak quality rather than being unsafe to eat. Eggs won't develop salmonella or other bacteria that cause food poisoning unless the bacteria were there to begin with, says Susanna Muhayed, PhD, Manager of Food Safety Research at Testing at CR. Unless the shell is cracked and the yolk is discolored or has an off smell, an egg past its expiration date is fine to use. Older eggs may be runnier than fresh ones, but they're still okay for baking or eating, hard-boiled. For the best taste, only use fresh eggs for dishes where they star, such as omelets or poached eggs. You can determine how fresh an egg is by using the float test. Put a nut-cracked egg into a bowl of water. If it sinks and lays flat on the bottom, it's fresh. If it stands upright, it's older but still safe to use. A really old egg will float. To be safe, best to toss it. To keep the eggs as fresh as possible, store them in the fridge in their original carton between 37 and 40 degrees Fahrenheit, and don't keep them in the fridge door, where temperatures fluctuate. For longer storage, you can crack and freeze egg yolks and whites. Beat them together or freeze them separately. Whites freeze well, but yolks can become thick and syrupy. So mix the beaten eggs or yolks with some salt, sugar, or corn syrup to prevent thickening before freezing. I found a tick embedded in my leg and removed it. What should I do now? Because the tick was embedded, it's possible you could have been infected with one of several tick-borne diseases, including Lyme disease. The most common, ambabsiosis, which has been on rise recently. Lyme disease, if left untreated, can lead to severe complications like brain inflammation and paralysis. Babesiosis can cause organ damage and the more dangerous for older adults and those who are immune compromised. Your first step to have removal should be to clean the bite area in your hands with rubbing alcohol or soap and water. In both cases, the only other thing you should do is watch your symptoms over the next few weeks and go to your doctor if you experience a fever, joint or muscle pain, or a rash. Most tick-borne diseases can be easily treated with antibiotics soon after symptoms arise. An exception. See your doctor right away if you remove a tick that's swollen, not flat, and you think you're bitten in a geographical location like the northeastern U.S., where blackleg ticks, which often carry Lyme, are common. Go to cdc.gov for a map of all high-risk regions. In that instance, your doctor might choose to give you a preventive dose of the antibiotic doxycycline, which can keep Lyme disease from developing if given within 72 hours of the bite. To help you assess whether you might need medical care after a tick bite, you can use the online tool at cdc.gov/ticks/after-a-tick-bite. Some phone apps ask for your access to my location and other info. Should I say yes? It depends. An app might ask for access to data because it's necessary for it to function. For example, a photo sharing app needs to use your camera and a mapping app needs to know your location. But some apps may be to collect data without actually needing it to work. That extra info about you may then be used to target you with ads. To adjust or revoke the permission of apps on iPhones, go to your privacy and security settings. On Android phones, go to Permission Manager under Security and Privacy. You'll see a list of functions. Tap on any one to get a look at the apps using it. Then move to the setting to off position if you don't think an app needs that access. Two important functions to check are tracking and location services. With the first one, you can prevent app developers from monitoring your activity across other apps and websites they don't own. For the second, you can adjust the app's access to your device's location. Deny it completely or allow it only while using the app. How about some CRN sites? How about a healthy, tastier burger? It's okay to eat beef, so round up some other stuff that's good for you. And there's a picture of a really good-looking burger here with a nice big brioche bun. Looks like maybe some iceberg lettuce with some regular lettuce, and looks like maybe some guacamole, tomato, and a hamburger. The best beef. The meat that is 80% lean and 20% fats makes for the juiciest burgers. But 90% lean ground beef will save you about 60 calories and 3 grams of fat per patty. Aim for 4 to 5-ounce patties. A better bun. White flour buns are low in fiber, the nutrient that keeps you feeling fuller longer. Instead, consider going for 100% whole wheat buns, which have more fiber, tend to taste nuttier, and have fewer calories. Top it up. Swap out tasteless iceberg lettuce for a more nutritional and favorable salad green like baby spinach. Add a slice of antitoxin-rich heirloom tomato and potassium-backed avocado, which can help lower blood pressure. Bring the heat. For perfect cooked beef burger, make sure the inside reaches 160 degrees Fahrenheit, the minimum temperature needed to kill off potentially harmful bacteria. Don't worry about dryness. You're still up with a juicy burger. And the Thermo Pro Digital Thermometer at $25, scored a 92. Don't burn the outside. Char can cause compounds to form that might increase cancer risk. So keep the flame low, flip often, and finish over high heat. Mixing thyme, ginger, or garlic into your patty may also stop the compounds from forming. Keep it clean. When taking burgers off the grill, use a fresh plate. Don't reuse the dish you had the raw patties on earlier because it can have dangerous bacteria from the uncooked meat on it. Come on. Doesn't anybody know that? Quick tricks for the best TV picture. Adjusting these three settings on your big screen would improve your TV watching experience in just 5 minutes. Turn off noise reduction. Out of the box, many TVs come with noise reduction setting turned on, but you're likely to see a clearer image overall if you turn it off. Visual noise, sometimes called snow, on account of the black and white dots in the picture, was a big issue with older analog TVs. It can still happen on some TVs if you're trying to stream content from a low-quality source, but for the most part, your modern TV has already given you high-quality content. So these days, it's overkill because it smooths out details, leaving the picture looking out of focus. Lower the sharpness setting. Believe it or not, dialing up the sharpness setting on your TV doesn't actually make the image sharper. It accentuates the edges of image, but masks the fine detail in the process, which can create a halo around objects. Manufacturers often have it turned up on new TVs, so toggle the sharpness setting on your TV way down or turn it off completely. Some TVs have a zero setting in the center of the control, while others may have a 50 in the center. Aim for that center point, which is the equivalent of off. Don't lower beyond that center point, or you might make the image fuzzier instead. Try filmmaker mode if you have it. New sets from Hisense, LG, Vizio, and Samsung, like the highly rated model shown above, which is the Samsung ON6590, offer this setting meant to help you a picture that is movie theater level. Filmmaker mode fine-tunes color settings and turns off motion blurring. The new setting has been widely praised by well-known directors like James Cameron, Patty Jenkins, and Christopher Nolan. And we agree. Turning on filmmaker mode comes pretty close to our expert recommendation for an optimized TV picture. One thing, you need to increase the TV's brightness if you're watching during the day. Time traveler on supplements. In 1938, CR reported that Sears has agreed to stop advertising vitamin E capsules with the false claim that the average American doesn't get an adequate amount of it in their diet. In 1940, CR examines 212 bottle vitamins and finds that many tablets don't contain the amounts of vitamins they are claimed to contain. 1951, CR's medical expert reveals the truth about best-selling health book, which is Look Younger, Live Longer. They say that the book's information about vitamins and minerals belongs on the fiction bestseller list. In 1996, while vitamin D supplements become popular for bone health, CR cautions that excessive doses may actually weaken your bones. In 1970, CR investigates whether vitamin C tablets can cure a cold. We say they can't, but they may provide some site relief. In 1986, we raised concerns about Kellogg's claims and ads for its all-brand cereal that it may help prevent some cancers. We say this stretches the truth about their research in order to make a sale. 1994, we look at 84 supplements to see whether they contain what they say they do on their labels. Most do, but one product, Megavite 75, falls short of iron, zinc, and more. In 2006, the Dietary Supplement and Non-Prescription Drug Consumer Act Protection Act is signed into law by President George W. Bush. It mandates that companies report serious adverse effects to the FDA. 2016, CR identifies 15 potential harmful ingredients in supplements sold by major retailers, which are linked to risk of cancer, organ damage, and more. 2024, we examine anti-aging supplements that may benefit health, including bone strengthening. These Kirkland calcium tablets are third-party verified, meaning they are vetted, tested for certain contaminants. And that's the Kirkland Signature Costco 600 milligram calcium with D3, $14 for 500. Banish annoyed lead and pet hair. Well, that's something that's very much around. They're notoriously tough to get rid of. Here's a solution for getting them out of hard-to-reach places. A scoring 75 is on carpets is the Kenmore 200 series, which is a canister vacuum, $220. Sucking up pet hair is difficult for many vacuums. That's why we rate vacuums for how well they do this icky job. The Kenmore's Powerhead A-Star test, definitely picking up 5 grams of long, feathery Maine Coon cat fur that had been stomped into a medium pile carpet. For clothing, the OXO Good Grips Reusable Lint Roller. This reusable tool is more cost-effective than disposable sticky lint rollers. A few stipes over a black outfit was all it took to remove the lint from my clothes, says at-home tester Yoderia Rodriguez. Plus, the roller has a self-cleaning case that pushes out trapped lint when you press the button. Oh, that's cool. Your dryer, Hurricane Kent Lizard, Lint Lizard. Lint builds up in difficult-to-read pages inside your dryer, like underneath the lint trap. The Lint Lizard, which fits onto the end of your vacuum, is a flexible tube that can get into small spaces and suck up the lint that collects in them. And for furniture, it's a Chom Chom Roller Pet Hair Remover for $28. The lint brush is the only tool that, after just a few swipes, lifted all of the hairs off velvet and linen polyester fabrics. The 7-inch roller is wide enough to tackle couches, and cleaning the tool is a breeze. The button on its handle opens an easy-to-empty hair-collecting compartment. See our insights. Auto update. Cars with the best miles per gallon. Whether brush passes go up or down, a fuel-efficient vehicle will always save you money. But what's a good number when it comes to gas mileage these days? The answer can vary by car type. What follows? 14 autos, including surprisingly efficient SUVs, trucks, and sports cars, that get the most miles per gallon in their respective categories. And we just don't take the window sticker's word for it. The overall gas mileage listed here are derived from our own tests that are based on a mix of city and highway driving. Some of the most efficient models are hybrids, which conserve gas by combining an engine with an electric motor and battery pack. But some gas-only vehicles, like the midsize SUVs shown here, now offer good fuel economy for their size. We've even found better choices if you want a sports car. The Mazda MX-5 Miata above, for example, offers a stellar 34 miles per gallon overall, well beyond other sports cars, which can be as poor as 19 or 20 miles per gallon. Okay, let's start with the best. Compact hatchback Toyota Prius all-wheel drive, scored an 80, gets 51 miles per gallon. Compact sedan, the Hyundai Elantra Hybrid Blue, scored a 77, gets 48 miles per gallon. For a midsize sedan, Hyundai Sonata Hybrid scored a 72, it gets 44 miles per gallon. For a luxury sedan, the Lexus ES300H scored an 88, and it goes to 42 miles per gallon. For a midsize sedan, Honda Accord Sport scored an 89 and got 40 miles per gallon. A midsize SUV, the Toyota Venza overall score, and the pickup truck, the Ford Maverick Hybrid, scored a 77, got a 37 miles per gallon. Sports car, the Mazda MX-5 Miata, scored 80. The luxury midsize SUV, the Lexus RX350H, both got 34 miles per gallon. At 32 miles per gallon is the sports car Honda Civic Si. Luxury car hatchback, the Acura Intrica A-Spec, got 31. A pickup truck, the Hyundai Santa Cruz Turbo, and the midsize SUV, the Subaru Outback Turbo, both got 24. And the midsize luxury SUV, MX X5, xDrive 40i, scored a 92 and got 23 miles per gallon. Solar-powered pathway lights. A well-lit pathway is absolutely vital for your safety, and solar-powered stake lights, a.k.a. Landsmark, offer a low-cost, hassle-free way to illuminate your walkway and driveway at night. Sold in lights, these lights are easily staked into loose dirt and then recharge their own batteries during the day by soaking up the sun. When night falls, the best solar lights automatically turn on and stay on until dawn. Our testing of 11 light sets revealed that not all perform this job equally well. While some are easy to install and stay nicely lit, like the Laricom Solar Spotlight, others at the bottom of our rating struggled to charge or didn't last the night. One important tip, consider models with an on-off switch. Turning off lights when you don't need them can help recharge the battery more fully. Laricom Solar Spotlight at $100. Great light duration and ease of use. It does have an on-off button, scored a 91. Harbor Breeze Solar LED Path Light. It's got a 78 overall. It does have an on and off button. Giggly Grid Solar Pathway Lights at $20. Got a 73. It has an on off button. Frontage Pro Silly's VI Path Light 101 has an on off button, scored a 65. NX Solar Pathway Lights, which actually look like the kind you put into ground rather than staking, has an on off button. It scored a 63 as well. Gigalumi Solar Pathway Lights for $21. It's got an on-off button. It scored a 62. Linkray Solar Spotlight. Got an on-off button. Only scored a 58. InnoGear Solar Lights 2-in-1 Waterproof Outdoor Landscape Lighting, which is kind of ugly, actually. scored a 58. It has an on and off button. Threshold Target Window LED and Solar LED Duo Path Light at $45. Does not score very well. 56. Hampton Bay Mitchell Outdoor Solar Path Light also does not have an on-off button, scored only a 52. And Bellenhauer Solar LED Path Light has a no on-off button, only scored a 49. Ooh, iced coffee. Countertop Intelligence, make great iced coffee. Brew it yourself. These easy-to-use countertop brewers are specifically designed to make cold coffees. For iced coffee, the K-Ice Single Serve Coffee Maker at $85 scored an 74. This slim brewer is fast. All you have to do is add water to the reservoir, place a pod in the filter basket, close it, and press the brew button. The ice setting makes refreshing coffee that isn't too acidic when poured over ice. For cold brew, at a 78 score, Parmerla Burke cold brew coffee maker for $35. This method, which requires steeping coffee grounds in cold water for 12 to 24 hours, makes a smooth coffee without bitterness. The Parmerla is the best cold brewer we've tested. Buy it for the convenience of store-bought coffee. These are some of our favorite bottled cold brews. The Chameleon Organic Cold Brew Black Coffee for $4 for 10 ounces. Chameleon's bottled coffee is a crowd pleaser. Staffer said it is light to medium bodied with low acidity. It's fine to drink black, although it pairs nicely with milk, too. At 40 cents per ounce, it's the priciest bottled cold brew we tried. The tasty bargain buy is La Comba Unsweetened Brazilian Coffee Cold Brew, $6.50 for 42 ounces. La Comba's brew is a medium-bodied with low acidity and a chocolatey flavor. Most of our staff gave it high marks with and without milk. It was also one of the least pricey cold brews we tried. To avoid a watery brew, two smart ways to keep your iced coffee cold for hours and also strong. Scoring a 94 overall is keep it cold much longer is the Sojourisi 16-ounce stainless steel travel mug for $29. This leaf-proof travel mug kept drinks cold for an impressive 7.5 hours, more than any other insulated mug we tested. The screw-on cap is easy to clean, and our testers found the mug easy to open with one hand. Make coffee ice cubes. OXO ice cube tray set, $10 for two. Put your leftover coffee in an ice cube tray and freeze it for a less diluted iced coffee the next day. This OXO CR favorite and didn't give the ice a plastic flavor. The cubes release easy from the tray, and the lid will make for easy stacking in your freezer. Now we have some recalls. Chrysler minivans, SUVs, and trucks. Chrysler is recalling over 1 million minivans, SUVs, and trucks from 2021 to 2023 because of potential safety risk when backing up. The vehicle's media screen may not display the view behind the vehicle when in reverse due to radio signal issues. Chrysler dealers will update their radio software to fix the problem. Free of charge, owners who have already paid to have this work performed before the recall issued may be able to seek reimbursement from Chrysler. Owners of affected vehicles will be contacted by Chrysler by mail, but can also call the automaker at 800-853-1403. MGA Miniverse Make It Mini toy sets. MGA Entertainment is recalling about 21 million Miniverse Make It Mini sets. They can turn resins that, when liquid, can cause skin, eye, and respiratory irritation or sensitization when inhaled, touched, or ingested. After their resin cures, they no longer present this hazard. The sets were sold at Aldi, Dollar General, Family Dollar, Hobby Lobby, Target, Walmart, and other stores nationwide, and online at Amazon Shop, Mega.com.com. Stop using the sets with any unused resins. Call MGA at 800-222-4685. Bassus Magnetic Wireless Charging Power Banks. Bassus is recalling about 132,000 power banks because the lithium iron battery in the power bank can overheat, posing a fire hazard. Ooh. The power banks were sold online at AliExpress.com, Amazon, and Bezos.com from April 22 through April 24 for $18 to $55. Stop using recalled power banks and dispose of the battery in accordance with local state regulations. Call Bezos at 855-215-5824. An email at care@basis.com, or go to Basis Power Bank Recall, expert inquiry for a full refund with proof of purchase, or a $36 cash fund without proof. Vitamix blending containers and blade bases. Vitamix is recalling about, and we just read something about Vitamix, 569,000 blending containers with blade bases because the containers can separate from the blade base, exposing the blades and posing a laceration hazard. They were sold at Best Buy, Costco, Crate and Barrel, Macy's, Target, Walmart, Williams-Sonoma, and other stores nationwide, and online at Amazon, QVC, and Vitamix.com from April 2017 through May 2024 for $30 to $990. Stop using the blending containers and blade bases. Call Vitamix at 855-215-5178 or go to Blending Cup Bowl Recall, ExpertInquiry.com for details and a free repair cut. Cinemar Lounge Chaise Chair. Cinemar is recalling about 70,000 chaise lounge chairs because the adjustable backrest can unexpectedly descend with force, posing finger-crushing and amputation hazards. The shares were sold at Frontgate stores in Georgia, Kentucky, North Carolina, Ohio, and Texas, online at frontgate.com and Frontgate catalogs, from $600 to $1,400. Stop using the chair and go to frontgate.com or call 888-298-4651. REI's Children Bicycles with Training Wheels. REI was recalling about 76,000 co-op cycles, Rev Kids bicycles, because the training wheel assembly knob can loosen and detach from the bicycle, posing a hazard to riders. The bikes were sold at REI stores nationwide and at REI.com from March 2022 to May 2024 for $200 to $300. Stop using the bike if the training wheels are on. Contact your local REI store to schedule a free repair that includes replacement training wheel attachments. If the bicycle is being ridden without training wheels, it can tend to be used as is. It's not a bicycle problem. September is the best time to buy grills, lawnmowers, air purifiers, and freezers. The best pillows from our test. The right choice can help you sleep better to wake up pain-free. Use our guide to find your match. Does your pillow look as flat as a pancake? Is it lumpy? Do you find yourself fluffing up all night? And do you wake up with a sore neck or upper back pain? If you answered yes to any of these questions, it's probably defined to something better. But you see, there's a dizzying array of pillows online and in stores. What makes a pillow dust mite resistant or cooling? And what the heck is a filling called K-POC anyway? The right pillow should keep your upper body and spine aligned. It will also help your body maintain the ideal temperature needed for restful sleep. And it won't trigger allergies. If your pillow doesn't check those boxes, it's time to find one that will. Here's what to know before you shop. How thick should your pillow be? The position you sleep in, backside, stomach, or a combo, or how soft your mattress is to determine how thick or firm your pillow should be. A pillow's thickness or loft comes down to the amount of filling inside, and the right loft will support your neck and keep your spine aligned as you sleep. While there's no one-size-fits-all rule, you know you found the correct loft when your neck is in a neutral position. That means the neck and spine are horizontal, with shoulders and hips stacked for side sleepers. And for back sleepers, the shoulders aligned with the hips and neck with the spine, says Nimira Albahoy, D.C., a chiropractor in Algoria Hills, California. Pillow lovers take note. A decorative stack is fine during the day, but sleep experts agree that you should use a single pillow at night. If you have more than one, it may be cranking your neck upward all night, and that won't be helpful. Alaboy says, never sleep with your shoulders on the pillow. If you're on your back, pull the pillow ends or wings of the pillow out from behind the shoulders. If you're on your side, make sure it's tucked under the neck. With this in mind, choose a sleeping pillow with the right thickness for your sleep style. Firmness determined by the type, density of the filling inside. Match your pillow to your sleep style. The right thickness and firmness for you depends on the body's position. For back sleepers, you need a supportive pillow that cradles the head without disrupting the natural curve of the neck. Medium loft pillows between 3 and 5 inches thick are best. Side sleepers should have a firm or extra firm pillow. High loft pillows 5 inches thick or more are best because they maintain the right alignment curve of the neck and head. Stomach sleepers need a pillow that keeps their face close to the mattress so the neck isn't angled up away from the spine, or they can skip the pillow altogether. In general, low loft pillows up to 3 inches thick are best for them. For combination style sleepers, should choose a pillow that has softer and firmer sections, or those that are thinner in the center for back sleeping and higher on the sides for side sleeping. You can find pillows in many different shapes, like the bed-in-a-box Tranquilium Contour Pillow for $89, or achieve a similar effect with an adjustable pillow like the Coupe Sleep Goods, the original, $75, which allows you to remove and reposition the filling as needed. Time to replace it? Take the pillow test. Most experts recommend you swap out your pillow every 1 to 2 years, but if you're having a hard time deciding if your pillow is past its prime, there are easy ways to know for sure. If your pillow has a loose filling, place it on a flat surface and fold it in half. Next, press down on the pillow anywhere from 30 seconds to a minute. Then let go if your pillow immediately springs back and still has life left in it. If it remains folded, it's time for a new one. Slab-side pillows can flatten over time. Replace yours when the pillow no longer supports your head and keeps your shoulders aligned. And we'll finish that article up next week. Right now, we'll do quotable quotes. There's no arrival, only the journey. Jalen Hurts, football player. To want something with sufficient fervor is to want it beyond the possibility of ever getting enough. Becca Rothfield, writer in the book All Things Are Too Small. To lead well, you have to care. Ava DuVernay, Fumero, in The Guardian. I don't view each birthday as a lost prayer of youth, but as a new stage of opportunity. For Lynn Slater, the fashion icon, in the book How to Be Old, Lessons in Living Boldly from the Accidental Icon. We didn't want to be a bunch of tough guys. We'd rather have bigger hearts than bigger muscles. Billy Joe Armstrong, musician. Boy, he's kind of weird looking. I was trying new hairstylists. This is all in a day's work. I was trying a new hairstylist. Once I sat down and launched into how I wanted my hair cut, leave the top long, don't trim the back too short, keep, oh, be quiet, the stylist said, playfully tapping on the top of my head with her comb. There are only two or three haircuts out there, and you're getting one of them. Five-year-old, what's Romeo and Juliet? Me. Well, it's a story about two people who fell in love. Two parents, both English professors, one is Shakespearean, give a long age-inventive synopsis. The five-year-old, wow. Yeah, it's sad. Yeah, I can't believe it. They fill in lava? Some 40 years after a film hit theaters, Harrison Ford still can't escape the theme song from Indiana Jones. As he told Variety, he's mentioned to John Williams, the song composer, that his music follows me everywhere I go, literally. When I had my last colonoscopy, they were playing on the operating room speakers. As I placed groceries in the bag, a customer asked, will it all fit? Yes, sir, I replied. It's a little heavy and a little awkward, but it'll all fit. She sighed. Story of my life. A little heavy and a little awkward. People took to Reddit to share stories about the times a coworker made them feel odd. I had an intern refer to the 90s as late in the 1900s. They were complaining how awkward it is to meet women on Tinder. I asked her if they ever had to call a girl at home and her dad answered the phone. They were horrified. Getting a blank stare after saying we'd meet same to that time, same bat channel. Left a note for a new hire to call IT, and he couldn't read cursive. He asked me what language I wrote the note in. Oh, man, that's sad. When I couldn't decipher what my young co-workers were saying, I had to look it up. Overheard at a store. Can I ask a stupid question? Better than anyone I know. 1 8-year-old loved the American Visionary Art Museum in Baltimore so much she sat on the floor and refused to leave, declaring, I am going to live here. Her grandparents were asked, where are you going to sleep? What will you eat? She had answered for all. The BM store has snacks, she could bathe in our sinks, and there's a water fountain in the basement. What exactly are they selling? Can you guess what these business signs are? Because we can't. A sign outside a store, closed due to personal circumcisions, apologies for any inconvenience caused. For sale on Facebook, antique medieval chair. Sign on a door, temporary closed, sorry for the inconvenience. And with that, we've just about run out of time for today's episode of Reader's Digest and Consumer Reports. Be sure to listen in next time. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. I'm Jim Cronin, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. So long until next week, and thanks so much for listening.